This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is MP on the mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, worldwide on the free Odyssey app on this very miseries of Mondays. Welcome aboard, MP here. Unless you're a JMU fan, y'all got a path to the playoff. Congrats to JMU, gritty road win at Marshall, path to the playoff. That would be a ton of fun to see the Dukes in the playoffs. Let's knock out the other two miseries real quick here before we get back to the Commanders, because UVA, your quarterback gets hurt. What are you going to do? It's a tough one. Still everything in front of you. It's hard to be optimistic, but man, that Tech game still looms really large. We'll be talking a lot about that in 2 weeks. Kickoff time's supposed to come out today. Won't surprise me at all if they put that on the old six-day hold to let everybody know who's in charge here, because it's not us. It's the TV networks. So we'll see UVA two more times. If they win them both, I think they'll be playing in the ACC title game. Chandler Morris's health, a big part of that. We'll pass along any updates we get to you. Who's talking tonight at 6 o'clock on the Fan? VCU basketball loses to Utah State and can't make free throws. So 1 point 10 of 20, misses a key free throw down the stretch. You love the resilience coming back from 18 down. You love some of the individual performances you see. I think this is a good team. I hate that they're going to be a really good team when we get past these important games, which seems to be the way of the world in college basketball. Opportunity, they'll play Wednesday at home, St. Peter's tune-up game. Opportunity 1 week from today against NC State. Opportunity to get back in the win column and get one that I think will be would hold up well in March, because Will Wade, as we know, gets his teams rolling. Commanders yesterday, Dan Quinn sits down for his post-game press conference, frustrated, resigned, and here's my interpretation. This isn't what he said. My interpretation was, I know I got to fire somebody coming out of this bye, and I know it's probably my buddy Joe Witt Jr. He's a really loyal guy. We've seen that all season long, and we've seen that in him playing Bobby Wagner, and we've seen that in the way he sticks with the veterans. And last year it worked. Bobby Wagner gave a rousing halftime speech, and it didn't accomplish anything for the defense. I think the other thing about this is it fixable? Is the defense fixable? And there's a chance it's not. There's a chance the players just aren't good enough, right? And they've had so many injuries. But it's also okay to demand a higher level of play than you've seen. Four straight 21-plus point losses, first time since the 2002 Arizona Cardinals, right? Not all of that can be explained with injuries. Lots of teams have injuries every year. No team in the last 23 years has had four 21-plus point losses. So not all of it's the injuries. Some of it's the coaching. And look on the offensive side of the ball, where I am not defending Cliff Kingsbury's performance this season by any stretch, but that offense was stagnant last week. What did he do? He comes back with some new looks, makes Chris Rodriguez a captain for the day, does the 1-3 personnel, that means three tight ends in the game, plays to his strengths. His strength is not wide receiver right now, although we saw some flashes. Burks showed some flashes yesterday. That was nice. But runs that 13 personnel, which is three tight ends, uses it to do some running plays, entrust Chris Rodriguez with a little bit more while Bill's finding his groove, while the O-line's finding its groove, which has been very surprising as well. You talk about the surprises And we're all surprised we're here, right? No, nobody saw this coming. And when nobody sees it coming, you reevaluate. Did we miss on the initial evaluation, or are they underachieving? And I'm going to say flat out, they're underachieving, right? Now, if you had told me Jaden Daniels was out, we talked about this a lot in the preseason. I said, I'm going to pick him to win eight, right? And they still could. I think they should. I think there's enough talent there to win eight, even with Jaden Daniels out. They're not a playoff team without Jaden Daniels. Everybody understands that. He's Superman. But there's enough talent there that you shouldn't be giving up a score on every single drive. What a frustrating day of football. To every time they touch the ball, you know it's going to end in a score for the second straight week. And, you know, nothing Dan Quinn says is going to make anybody happy. But when he points back to that first half against the Chiefs, I don't want to hear about that. They had a good first half defensively against the Chiefs. They also capitalized on Chiefs' mistakes in that half. And you have to. That's the game. It's hard for me to say that was some kind of pinnacle of performance. If anything has proof of concept, they can hustle and get to the ball. They're still running. They're still trying hard. They're just being stupid. Both in lack of discipline, Daron Payne getting himself tossed. And the Lions know that. The Lions' game plan was to get under their skin, and they did. It's kind of the opposite of January in a lot of ways. Think back to January. These guys pushed the Lions around at home. Lions were nervous. Lions were tentative. Jared Goff was having a bad game. And these guys came in with the swagger and stuck it to them. Where's that football team? Where did they go? They were not anywhere to be seen yesterday on that football field. Which again, leads me to believe, right? It's the people who predicted Super Bowl, this is the opposite of that. But the people who predicted 9 wins, the me's of the world, this is still underachieving. This is still less than they are capable of, right? And I mentioned the offense, switching its personnel, switching its attack. The offense wasn't great yesterday. Again, I'm not singing Cliff Kingsbury's praise, but he's doing something. He's trying things. And I think that defensively, Dan Quinn, you heard the sigh in the press conference. He's got to fire Joe Witt. And also, I've said this a million times, so I'll say it one more time during today's show. He's calling the defense. This is his defense. You can fire Joe Witt, and you may have to scapegoat him, but it doesn't get you any closer to solving the problem. If Joe Witt's the problem, you fire him, things pick up. Joe is not the problem here any more than any other assistant is, right? They may be contributors, but this is Dan Quinn's defense, right? He's got to get it fixed. And he gets a breather after the bye, but he's also got one more game he's got to sprint through, and this is an important one. Dolphins are 3-7. They got momentum. Weird things happen in the international games. It's a coin flip game. Let's call this what it is. And Dolphins, 2.5-point favorites already. Opened at Washington by 1, moved to Dolphins 2.5 over the course of the day yesterday. This is a big one for Dan Quinn to show that he can try things, he can change things, he can make things better. That's the role of coaching. Coaching can't fix injuries. Coaching can't fix guys not being out there. Coaching, in some ways, can't fix stupid. But in a lot of ways, coaching is about let's put the guys in position to succeed, and we'll see if they succeed or not. But I don't believe they're being put in position to succeed right now, and I don't think you guys think that either. And Dan Quinn in the postgame press conference sounded like a guy who knows he's got to fire Joe Witt on next Monday and knows is not going to do him any good whatsoever. Well, that's a happy show. A happy Mystery Monday to all who observe, which is most of you, except the JMU fans out there. Who's talking tonight at 6 o'clock? I'll certainly look forward to hearing the things they have to say about UVA, who couldn't get it going offensively before Chandler Morris left the game, but certainly were struggling after. Still had a chance to win late. I just hope they don't squander this opportunity. I would love to see them in Charlotte. I would love to see them in the ACC title game. That would make me very happy because you don't get these opportunities very often.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Be on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Monday morning. Well, I want to get to college basketball in a bit. How about this Greek kid at Virginia Tech? We may need to learn his name. Neoklis of Dallas had himself a day against Providence. 33.6 rebounds, 6 assists. By the way, 5 of those shots, 3-pointers. 6'9" Greek point guard. You may be talking about him in that freshman conversation. A lot of buzz. They're talking about him like the BYU kid last year, Igor Demon. We'll see. That'd be a game changer for Virginia Tech. It'd certainly be nice to see them with a little hoops talent. But I want to talk about something near and dear to everybody's heart, and that is complaining about who gets selected to the college football playoff. UVA lost on Saturday night, which was not a surprise when Chandler Morris went down on what I would certainly describe as a blatantly illegal hit. I don't think that's a reach. Who's talking? I'll take that on. Tonight at 6 o'clock, they can go in more depth on that than I can. It was not, one guy goes low, the other guy goes lower. It's clearly the spearing motion in play there. I didn't like any part of that. But had opportunities, did not win the football game. Not out of it. Virginia very much still in the ACC picture. They're actually, if the ACC title game were today, they would be a participant along with Georgia Tech. That said, 5-1 loss teams in the ACC. Duke's one of them. They're going to play this weekend in Durham. We're going to knock one of the teams out of this race, and we'll see how Chandler Morris progresses. We'll dive into that in a second, but I want to get into this thing because college football playoff picture is crystallizing as we near the end of the season here. I'm going to suggest that of the 12 spots, 10 are taken at the moment. I think there's 4 SEC teams that are definitively in the college football playoff right now, and it would be hard for them to lose their way out. So A&M, Alabama, Georgia, and Ole Miss. All dominating SEC play, all look really good. It would be hard for them to not make it. We'll ignore the others there for now. You have, I believe, 2 in the Big 12 after this week, because BYU's got the 1 against Texas Tech. We'll see. I think that's going to be a 2-bid league, though. Texas Tech looking great, of course. You'll have the conference title game. If that's a rematch and BYU could win, it'd be tough to keep them both out. You'll have your Group of 5 team. You'll have your ACC team. Big 10, Indiana's in, Ohio State's in, and I believe Oregon also is in right now at this moment. So you got the 4 from the SEC. You got the 3 from the Big 10. The 1 automatic in the ACC, 1 automatic in the Big 12, and 1 automatic in the Group of 5. We hope it's James Madison. They had a nice win against Marshall on Saturday. Road win, gutty win, got the offense rolling late after making some mistakes early. They righted the ship, got the win. So that's 10. If a second Big 12 team makes it, that's 11. Everybody else is arguing about one slot the rest of the way. Now, clearly, as I talked to you this morning, we all know the ACC is a one-bid league. That's cast in stone. But the ACC did not spend all that time, all that money, all that begging of schools to create an ACC network, not to make it a propaganda machine. And, of course, you've heard that over and over about the SEC, right? SEC network, just a propaganda machine for the SEC. Yeah, and lots of people watch it and enjoy it, because people down there live, eat, and breathe football. Now, nobody watches the ACC network. It's not even rated by the Nielsen Group. I'd tell you what the ratings are for the ACC network, but they're so bad, they don't get a number assigned to them. That's where they're at here on the ACC network. But I decided, in the interest of open-mindedness, fairness, and just pure love of ACC football to give their pregame show, ACC Huddle, a chance this weekend. Let's see what they're talking about after the initial college football playoff rankings seemingly snubbed the ACC.
It was a bad loss. I mean, it's bad wins, good loss. Right. I mean, and they change it every week. It's crazy.
And they even create stat. There's some new stat that it's record of strength that only they know what that is. No one knows what it is, what that means, but them. And so you're right. They moved the goalposts specifically for this conference.
It's one of those things of they view the ACC differently. Yeah. And we need to stop acting like that's not the case. There's two leagues that they value, and then they put us in that lower tier. It is what it is. I'm tired of saying it. The only thing that we could do with our teams is win. Right. Every opportunity. Opportunity we get, we got to win. And when you get a chance to play on national television, a big stage, win, and win in a big way.
Don't leave it to that human element that is obviously going to be there when you have a 13-person committee all meeting in a room. They can try and leave their biases at the door, but of course, there's always a little something.
That's Eddie Royal. You guys remember Eddie Royal, of course, Virginia Tech wide receiver. They're on grounds in Charlottesville, making their case that the ACC gets no love. No love at all from the big bad media, from ESPN, which owns the ACC network, from all these things, all these great grievances. Let's get specific. They talk about how they believe Louisville should be considerably higher in the rankings than they are, and they cite Notre Dame as an example of a team that is ranked too high.
He scored twice for Virginia.
You're allowed to have one bad day, right?
Well, apparently. Other conferences are. Right? We are not.
Right. And, so yeah, and Isaac Brown wasn't full strength. He wasn't back in that mix, which they play.
They only want to use that when it's negative to the ACC. They don't want to use that to supportive of the ACC. And I hear all the time about Notre Dame and how great they're playing. Well, they played a 2-7 Arkansas team, a 5-4 NC State, a 2-7 Purdue, a G5 Boise State, 6-2 USC, who just won last night, 7-2. That's a good win.
That's great.
One good win. A 1-8 Boston College. That, by the way, Boston College just gave up 300 yards to Louisville running the ball. They held Notre Dame, who's the best running backs in the world, that this committee member said, the chair member said, 2 yards a rush.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Like, so the facts here are teams are playing well, but are they? And are you watching this? And I've got some stuff with Oklahoma and Texas, too, but it's just, it's unbelievable to see.
I mean, again, there are no rules.
There are no rules. ACC Huddle on the ACC network. They're mad. They're big mad. It's also their job. They get paid to tout the ACC. Keep that in mind. And the SEC network does the same, right? They scream disrespect for the SEC all day long. But dang if it isn't. It's a little rich. It's a little funny coming on the ACC network. Because I've watched ACC football, and maybe you watched some ACC football, and it's hard for anybody, right? In eye test and statistics and all this stuff, I get it gets complicated. I get that the national media, such as theirs, and the tank for the SEC. I'll make the case in a second, by the way, that the framing on this is wrong. But let's start with this. Louisville lost to Cal in overtime. That's a deeply unserious case. If that's the team you're making the case for. UVA couldn't score a touchdown against Wake Forest. And they, well, are we not allowed to have a bad day? No, you're not allowed to have a bad day against Wake Forest. So we were adamant last year, right? Oklahoma had a bad day. Whoever had the bad day against Oklahoma. Alabama had the bad day against Oklahoma. They should not have been in the college football playoff, right? You can't have bad days against people like, oh, well, Boston College. Let's talk about the Boston College rushing number. Boston College is 1-9. Notre Dame did not take that game seriously in the least. And I'm not saying Notre Dame should be in. Very clearly, their brand is helping them. But the whining is hilarious to me. That we're actually amazing. Watch us. But don't actually watch them. There are 8 million people watch SEC games, the spotlight games each week. The ACC spotlight games get about 800,000 viewers. Sometimes they crack a million. Why is that? I would argue it's not because everybody's in the tank to try to prop up the ACC at SEC at the expense of the ACC. I would argue that perhaps people are watching the better product and the more entertaining product, and fan bases have something to do with it. I talked about this all last week. You know, the people don't want to turn on the TV and see a half-full stadium Or even, you know, I think that's why Vandy's been slow to grab traction. I think Vandy's really good. I think Diego Pavia should be in the Heisman conversation. People love the tradition and the pageantry of college sports. And, man, the SEC's got it. No, we're running up against here. But I do think the thing, the reframing here needs to be not, hey, we should be up there with the SEC. That's a losing battle. But everybody refers to the two major conferences. I think the SEC's trying to nudge out the Big Ten, and I think they could, and I think the SEC's playing better football than the Big Ten. I know they've got that uneasy alliance, right, where they were talking about let's have a title game series, 1-8 in the SEC, 1-8 in the Big Ten, and we'll put them in a bracket, 1-8, vice versa. And I understand the appeal of that. I think long-term, the SEC is here to eat everybody's lunch. I think the work the ACC needs to be doing is convincing the Big Ten, let the SEC have their ball, let them go home. Let's build a successful long-term college football framework out of what's left, preserving the college parts of college football if they're not already long gone. Because two conferences there who stretch across the country, put the Big 12 at the table too, a conference that stretches across the country, those are the teams you need to be working with. SEC has stayed geographically defined. SEC has its brand, has its network, isn't going anywhere. I think the Big Ten's the conference you need to be talking to. Tough loss for UVA, though, against Wake Forest. Virginia Tech back in action this weekend. UVA Duke will be watching closely again down in Durham. Inside track to the ACC title game on the line. We'll get the kickoff times for the Virginia Tech week later today. I fully expect that to be to be the 2 week hold. Or well, no, we may even still be a week away from that. I think that'd be the six game hold. We're not playing six more of these. Some teams are. Those teams are national champs. They're not ACC teams. I still say I test Miami's the best team. Come fight me if you want to. I don't care. Bottom line, it's a one-bid league. We're there. It's settled. And it's a bummer. But we got a lot more to get to. Because it's a Monday show, and we're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan. Now 105. Yep, be on the mic. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Mopping things up on a misery Monday. We promised to take you inside the locker room, and we're going to take you inside the locker room because there's certainly a lot to talk about here. I think I want to start with Von Miller. Because I think this is the closest you'll get to kind of the traditional answers. We don't know what's going on. I can't explain it either. And, yeah, it's really frustrating. And that's – I think a lot of guys feel that way. We'll get to the personal fouls in a bit. You'll hear from Javon Kinlaw, one of the guys who got one of those personal fouls in a bit, and Bobby Wagner as well, who spoke to the team at halftime. But let's start with Von Miller.
You know, it's tough times. You know, it's trying times, but we got a room team full of great guys. I'm not sure the direction you know we go, but I know we're gonna work though.
What was like sort of the broad plan against them, and where did the execution come up short?
I think just you know individually. For me, it was you know a little play here, a little play there, and I'm sure you know everybody else experienced that in some you know fashion, and just the slippage here, slippage there. And, you know, you get games like this.
Yvonne, you said in tough times, you know this locker room. How do you keep everybody together as you try to turn the page from this five-game schedule?
Yeah, that's, you know, keeping everybody together. From a morale standpoint, I know everybody's – that's not going to be an issue. We just – you know, we're a long way from the standard right now. And all I have is the cliche things to say. You know, we got to get it going. We still got a little time, but that's truly where it's at. Like, you know, you just got to take it one day at a time. Tough times right now, for sure.
Vaughn, there's some extra stuff with Duran. Quan was talking about getting pushed. Did you see anything that happened?
I did not. I just saw ref throw the flag and they said he was out. I haven't, you know, seen any clip or anything like that. I couldn't really comment on, you know, what happened. It just sucks to, you know, Lou. That's, you know, arguably the best guy on the team, so, you know, it sucks not having him out there.
Is it encouraging at all, I mean, that the group is fighting, staying together, yeah, still trying to pump each other up?
Yeah, it's definitely encouraging. It's, you know, the outcome is everything at this level. But everything before that we handled really, really well. We just got to figure out a way to stack some wins.
How did it impact you guys to have Witt on the sideline with you for this game? Was there an impact?
I thought he always did a good job, whether it was upstairs or downstairs. You know, this, you know what's going on is definitely not, you know, on the coaches. They have us super prepared. Like I said before, we're physically prepared, mentally prepared, emotionally prepared. DQ does a great job of keeping the morale going and, you know, holding on to the standard that we've set. I'm not sure what a, you know, disconnect is, but, you know, we're going to keep working to figure out a solution for sure.
All right, that's Von Miller. We're inside the locker room on 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. We're in the limbo, right? Next week, next Monday, we'll get everybody riled up. Somebody's going to be fired because they're coming back from Madrid. They'll be on the bye week. Right now, they're packing up the plane, getting ready to leave for Madrid. So nothing's going to happen this week. You heard Von Miller talk about, I mean, this group is still kicking and fighting and screaming, and undisciplined is certainly a word you can use. And if you use that word, I'm not going to blame you one bit, because a lot of those things were undisciplined. And yet, at the same time, this is a team that hasn't thrown in the towel. And certainly there are teams at this record who have definitely thrown in the towel. These guys still believe in what they've got. Let's go to Bobby Wagner, because Bobby Wagner chatted. He gave the halftime speech in the locker room, and you'll hear the frustration too. There's no answers on this Misery Monday, just a lot of frustration across the board. But Bobby Wagner, speaking to the guys, tell them, hey, play within yourselves. Everybody's pressing. Everybody's trying to make the play. And as a result, you're seeing a lot of letdowns.
It's a lot of emotions, a lot of feelings. You know, I think all of us want to win, and we're not executing enough to win.
And you talk about execution, but then there's like penalties and disqualifications. There's certain things that are probably more alarming than others.
It still kind of falls on the line of execution, like picking your poise, understanding what a team trying to do to you.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they know that if you are the type of person that can get into it after the whistle, they try to do that stuff. And so that's on us. We just got to keep our composure. You know, we have no excuses. And, you know, we got to be better.
Bobby, what was your message at halftime?
Huh?
What was your message at halftime?
We just got to keep our composure. We just letting a lot of stuff after the whistle affect our game. And we just had to keep our composure.
In terms of the big picture, last year you guys were one win away from making it to the Super Bowl, and now you guys are 3-7. I mean, is this just a huge surprise considering where you guys were in the offseason, and is this really frustrating right now to be in this position?
I mean, I can't control what happened in the past and what our future looks like. I think, you know, you miss out on a lot of things if you do that. So I'm present in this moment. I understand that we're not where we want to be in this moment. It's frustrating. Obviously, we don't want to be in this situation, and it's on us to get ourselves out of this situation. So we can't look back at the past and talk about what this should have been, what that should have been, things of that nature. We just got to focus on what's ahead of us and try to correct that and take one game at a time.
That's Bobby Wagner. We're inside the locker room on 910 The Fan, now 105.1. FM. And, you know, I think it's a fair debate. Is there enough skill for this to be a playoff team defensively? Because they're just out of dudes at a certain point. You're just out of dudes. At the same time, they're clearly underachieving as well. Both things can be true. Both things are true right now for this Washington Commanders squad. And it's tough to see them turning a corner right now. It's tough to see them righting the ship. Now, obviously, they have an easier game, right? Scheduling can be everything in the NFL, and their schedule gets lighter from here. Lighter lift against the Dolphins. At the same time, that was a call your shot offensive performance from the Detroit Lions. That was ugly, man. That was a rough one because there was not even the semblance. You know, they had some third and sevens. They had some fourth downs. And the fourth downs were very much easily converted. Guy wide open seems to be one of the themes of this year's team. Guy wide open, and it's caught for a touchdown, and it's caught for something else. But the undisciplined, which you've heard mentioned a couple times as well, is definitely a part of this as well. Javon Kinlaw is one of the guys who took one of those penalties. Quan Martin did as well. Quan Martin's thoughts on it: I saw dude grab my crotch, I pushed him back, and then I got a penalty. Javon Kinlaw trying to get the Lions away from him, and instead of pushing the Lions, he pushed the ref. And here is what happened when that happens. You get a penalty. He's kind of lucky he wasn't kicked out of the game. That's right after Daron Payne. Now, Payne's is in an entirely different category. That's a full punch category. But here's what Javon Kinlaw had to say.
I mean, it is what it is. It's a physical game. It happens. But on my end, I just got to be smart in certain situations and protect the team.
Wow. You saw Sid Brown kick Daron?
Yeah, for sure. And they did, too. She was some bullshit. 100%.
What are you guys going to go from here on defense?
All we can do is go back to the drawing board and try to find a way to get better. That's the only way we can do it.
A lot of BS if you're keeping score at home there, Javon Kinlaw. And look, it's clear the Lions were trying to take them out of their game, and it worked. And that's who the Lions are. They've celebrated that for a long time. Nobody should have been caught off guard by the Lions' identity. This is the coach who said we were going to bite some kneecaps when he came into the league. Should not be surprising to anybody. He's running a football team this way, that he's playing this way. Not a surprise to anybody at home who's watching. It's a physical team. It's a team that is definitely borderline dirty at times, sometimes very dirty. And the Commanders let it get in their heads, and you lost one of your best players right out of the gate in Daron Payne. You don't have enough good players to start with. And he'll lose another. He's probably going to be suspended for Madrid, too. We'll wait for official word from the league. It'd surprise me if he gets on that plane tomorrow night. Just saying. Maybe an extended bye week for Daron Payne. Can't do that. Let's finish with the defense. Frankie Louvu at linebacker. One of many players who was so good last year, and it just hasn't clicked for him this year.
Yeah, man. I mean, that was kind of like a big move, having our DC down on the field with us to make some adjustments. I just feel like we got to do better, man. Every way, any way we can. You know what I mean? I feel like we beat ourselves, too. You know, JK and Payne, you know, I mean, we need our guys. And we just got to play a better overall.
Frankie, how shocked are you that you guys are in the spot with not just losing, but also just really not competitive in the second half of this game?
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating, but I don't know what to say.
There's a few personal fouls out there. Was it chippier than a normal game?
Yeah, man, you know, it's a football game. We're going to go back and forth with each other, but at the end of the day, man, that's kind of like whatever their game plan was to get us off our game. And, we just got to hold our composure, man, be good at that. And we need everybody, and, it kind of hurt us.
What was the message from DQ after the game?
We just got to find a way, man. We dug ourselves in this hole. We got to dig ourselves way back out of here. So, and it starts with practice, and it starts with our identity and our culture and all that, everything that comes with it. You know what I mean?
I know what he means. I know that this team needs an identity, and they don't have one right now. And Joe Witt coming down, he had a front row seat to a butt kicking. That's what he had a front row seat to. Is there anything going to change? Seems doubtful that that was the answer right there. The answer is better players, but the answer is also more discipline for sure. Let's finish out inside the locker room. He's a quarterback. I think he's got some wise words to say here. He's Marcus Mariota. We're inside the locker room on 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Oh, yeah, set this clip up. He is asked how close they feel to putting it together. Here's Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I don't feel real close. And at the same time, though, day in and day out, I see guys coming in, giving it their all. So I do feel like we have
the great things come in threes.
The motivation, the determination to get this right. But we're running out of games and we're running out of time. So there has to be a sense of urgency, which I do believe there is in the locker room, and we'll figure it out.
How surprised are you that we're sitting here and after 10 games, that you're still saying you still have to figure out who you guys are and what you want to be?
Yeah, I mean, I'm one, I don't think we should shy away from that. I think that's the truth. And I think that's transparency. And at the end of the day, in order to get things going in the right direction, you have to be transparent. You have to be honest. And I don't think we are who we think we are.
I don't think we're close to who we think we are. And that's honest. And that's true. And this is an offense that could be an offense of a 7-10 or an 8-9 team. They were fine yesterday. Chris Rodriguez stepped it up a little bit, got a little McNichols. Bill's still pressing, man, and that's tough. I like his raw skills long-term, but he's pressing right now. I think that's a very real thing this team's going to have to deal with as well in the next little while. And also, he's going to be good for a while. You don't have to sweat it. Don't worry about it. But on offense, they were fine. Marcus Mariota's fine. But he's getting no help defensively. They give up a score every single drive. That's how you make a misery Monday. It's a misery Monday. Let's finish up the hour. Hour number two, I want to take on. I want to do some college football. I want to talk about ACC bias. We'll get there at 11 o'clock. Anti-ACC bias. Nobody's biased for the ACC. Come on now. Tough loss for UVA. VCU also falls to Utah State. Misery Monday for everybody. Pass it around, except you, JMU football fans. You're fine. Everybody else, Misery Monday continues after this. You're listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good night to the Fan 105.1 FM. Virginia Tech fans, I love them. They're passionate. Circulating that 10,000 more people attended the absolute dud of a Virginia Tech Wake Forest game in Blacksburg that made it out to Charlottesville. I'm not going deep on this. If Who's Talking wants to, they can. They're tonight at 6 o'clock right here on The Fan. I made a big deal of the UVA crowd going into the week, and there's always two outcomes, right? One is it was really good, and one is it was really bad. And both of those outcomes make good radio, right? If they had sold out the game, 63,000, Scott Stadium, hey, UVA's back, we're cheering them to victory, everybody's on the mall yelling for the ACC huddle, whatever that is, yeah, absolutely. The other end is also interesting. If 40,000 people come and everybody agrees to do something else in Charlottesville and ACC huddles broadcasting and nobody's standing behind them, that's interesting as well. Neither of those happened. They sold 50,000 tickets. That's progress for them. That is a good showing for the UVA fan base. They had some people out there wooing and yelling for the ACC huddle early in the morning. It wasn't a game changer, and it wasn't embarrassing and humiliating. And so it lives in the middle of incremental improvement. And if I thought there was any chance UVA was building something sustainable, I'd probably laud that as, hey, you build brick by brick. They're going to regress next year, and they're going to regress hard because the schedule changes and everybody else in the ACC is about to infuse a lot of money in like they did. So it's hard for me to get too excited about what happened there, and I'm also not going to dog on it. Yeah, Virginia Tech fans are better than UVA fans at supporting the football team, full stop. And if UVA's got a title game appearance on the line in Charlottesville, I think the Hokie fans are going to be there, and they're going to be rowdy, and the game's going to mean a lot to them, and that would be an intriguing way to end this season, and a better way to end it than continuing to complain about the ACC's treatment. Just let's have a big game and throw the record books out and have ourselves some fun for the day. I want to get to basketball, though. And Virginia Tech's got a lot to crow about in basketball, too. This Greek kid, man, hope you're learning the name. Nioklis Evdalis goes by Neo. 33 points in an overtime win over Providence. Looked great on the highlights. We'll be monitoring the situation. But VCU played a big game Friday night in Frisco, Texas. It was not a Frisco treat, man. A lot of mistakes against Utah State. Ended up tied. down the stretch, doesn't get a defensive rebound, allows Utah State to get an offensive rebound. VCU gets free throws, misses one of the two free throws late. That was the trend of the night. They were missing free throws left and right on the scoreboard. At one point, I believe they were 10 for 20 from the line. That's not going to be good enough no matter where you go. Had the ball last second. We'll let Robbie Robinson set the scene as he did right here on The Fan.
79-77, Rams down two, trailed by 18 at one point, got it to a tie ball game. Free throw, that's good. Now you need a miracle. As Rodney said, you got Lewis and Noel in the backcourt. Here we go. They will baseball pass it. It is tipped into the hands of Falsliff. He will grab it, and at the buzzer, it is over. The final score, VCU falls 80-77 to Utah State. A really unbelievable comeback from the Rams, down by 18 at one point, but came up just a little bit short.
Boy, there's just two ways to look at that, Robbie and Rodney with the call on The Fan. Missed opportunity? Sure, of course, unquestionably. Also, down 18 to a really good team, finished second in the Mountain West, I think we'll be in the NCAA tournament, and you tie it with a minute to go for a young team. That's pretty dang good. Robbie was walking Coach Martelli through that in the post game. Here are Coach Phil Martelli Jr.'s thoughts on the comeback and it falling short.
To have a game like this where you come so close to winning and there's so many correctable things, as frustrating as to lose, has got to give some optimism moving forward. Like this team, as we're learning them and our fans are figuring out what the team is, has got to feel good about that, especially with you guys too and how it ends up.
Yeah, I mean, losing sucks, right?
Yeah, like absolutely. It sucks. Yeah,
and,
for sure.
And the fact that we did, you know, a good bulk of that to ourselves with the turnovers, with the free throw shooting, with the missed layups, with the slip ups on defense, you know, makes it worse. But when you see the resilience, you see, you know, like you said, you're down, you fight all the way back, you do those things. Fight your way back. There's something there.
That's Phil Martelli Jr., coach of ECU. There's something there. There's definitely something there. They get Terrell Ward comes back after missing the first game with an ankle injury. Limited in the first half, they kind of let him go in the second half. Man, he was a revelation. As we clarified earlier, none of us really saw the game. It was this weird streaming situation where it buffered all the time. That's all right. Theater of the mind, the radio. That's also all right because we've got Coach Martelli's post game here, and he'll tell us about Terrell Ward.
Was really happy with the way he looked. You know, was trying to, trying to gauge it. You know, he was very much a game time decision, trying to see, you know, what it looks like with him. Like, what is his, you know. He practiced, but it's hard, right? Like, then you get in a game like this, and it's good players all around. But, you know, I thought, he gave us really good energy, gave us good minutes. Obviously, he can score the ball. I was really proud of his defense. I thought he did a good job. You know, that stretch when we were really guarding and putting stops together left him out there on the defensive end, which is not something that you would say, but he was giving us good minutes on that end.
You hear the emphasis on defense there from VCU coach Phil Martelli, and he's instilling that in all his guys, and I think a lot of the playing time decisions are going to be made off of that defense as well. You know these guys can shoot and score. The numbers show that, but he wants them really clamping down as well. It felt like early on, though, it was the turnovers on the offensive end, much more so than miscues on defense. Here's Coach Martelli chatting on The Fan with Robbie and Rodney right after the game. Here's his overview of what happened. VCU falling to Utah State, down 18, comes back. Narrow loss at the buzzer.
We definitely wore them down, to an extent. And, we just had some slip-ups for a long stretch that, we started to guard the right way. We started to kind of key in on the right things. And make them start taking tough shots. You know, they got so many good shots for the longer stretch. Like, yeah, you're going to shoot whatever they shot in the first half when you're getting rhythm threes. And, you know, so down the stretch, we were able to get those stops. We had talked about our defense to our offense. Then we're out in transition. Now they're not set on defense. You know, and we got some good looks off of that.
And it works until it doesn't. Worked against Wagner, worked at times against Utah State. But when you don't have the opportunity to get back defensively and set, hard for a lot of teams to compete in that situation. Hard for a lot of teams to be able to compete when, you know, you're trying to run, you want to play a fast-paced game, but when you have those turnovers, they get to dictate the pace, and they get to set their defense, and that changes things. VCU will host St. Peter's on Wednesday. Hopefully you caught AWOD giving away tickets to that game last week. We've got tickets to every VCU home game, and we'll continue giving them out here throughout the season on The Fan. We're also now 1 week away from what I would argue is the most anticipated VCU non-conference game of the season. They'll be down in Raleigh next Monday night, taking on Will Wade and the NC State Wolfpack. Love Will Wade scheduling that game. Love the litmus test everybody's going to get out of that. Love the opportunity for these guys to play on a national stage a few days after, or a week and change after, testing themselves against a really good team. I think they will grow from that. I think they will learn from that. I think we got a lot of fun ahead, and of course, down to the Bahamas as well. That's VCU basketball. You know we got football to get to. Always football to get to. Always a busy Monday. We'll take you up to AWOD Radio. Grant and Danny will drive you home on your home for VCU basketball in Richmond. This is 910 The Fan. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Worldwide on the free Odyssey app. We've been ducking it the whole show. We might as well get down to it. Donald Trump opened his mouth over the weekend. We've done these segments before. He wants the name changed. Now he wants the stadium named after him. And look, he wants headlines because his headlines about shutting down the government are not great. And that's not a political commentary. It's just to say politicians like wins. And he's getting wins when he says rename the team. And I think he's getting wins with his fan base when he says let's name the stadium after me. It's a loss for the rest of us, though. But also, I think way too much is being made out of this. Let me explain to you why. I guess we have to get a little political here. I don't know. We'll try to avoid it. Dan Quinn, coach of the Commanders, right? Asked about it after the game. Man, it is great to have our military in attendance. Great to salute the troops. Salute to Troops Day. Troops, very popular. Pulling at very high levels across all constituencies. Everybody wants to attach themselves to that. Trump swings by. They install the bulletproof glass in Josh Harris's booth. Now, my understanding is this thing's been in the works for a long time, going back to when this was America's Game of the Week. So last week, Trump was on 60 Minutes right after Chiefs Bills. And if you think that was a coincidence, I got a bridge to sell you. Trump knows where the ratings are. And that was a monster game, Chiefs Bills. He knew that going on right after that game, he'd have a lot of eyeballs on him, and he did. This was supposed to be America's Game of the Week. Tom Brady, Kevin Burkhardt in the booth, Aaron Andrews, Tom Rinaldi, the works, the Lions, the Commanders, rematch of a very dramatic playoff game. All right, he's going to be in the booth. He's going to pay tribute to the troops midway through. It's on Fox. Win, win, win. Now, it doesn't quite end up that way. We end up with Kenny Albert instead. That's all right. He still comes by. He still does his thing. The stadium naming thing to me, though, is the one that had everybody in a tizzy. All right, so Trump wants his name on the stadium. Now, I can assure you Josh Harris does not want Trump's name on the stadium, and it's got nothing to do with politics, and it's got nothing to do with any of that. He wants a corporation's name on the stadium because the contract says that he can keep that money. So if he calls it Trump Stadium, he loses out on that money. So that's a pretty simple business transaction for our guy Josh Harris. Now, I'll also do a little math for you here. Presidential term is 4 years. Trump arrived in 24. He's term limited out. He's gone in 2028. I'll give you a little history lesson. Lyndon B. Johnson was the president when RFK Stadium opened. He hated RFK. And he wanted it named after him. And they told him it would be. And then, at the last second, they did an oopy-doop, and the Senate named it after RFK. Lyndon Johnson was mad. He couldn't do anything about it. That's the solution here, folks. They're going to tell him, they'll name it after him. And then when he leaves in 2028, they'll do whatever they want to do. There's a fine tradition of that in Washington. Lying, I believe they call it. But for Trump, like, and I hear what you say. What if he's still president? You know, what if he suspends the term limits or whatever? Then we all got bigger problems than what the name of the stadium is. There's going to be 32 teams playing in Trump stadiums at that point across the NFL. I wish we could ignore this better because it's outside noise. And as a fan base, we've lived through outside noise for so long in so many things, in so many different areas, in so many different ways. I'm tired of outside noise, y'all. All we do around here, it seems like, is outside noise. And Dan Snyder had it too. Does it come from being in the Capitol? I don't know, maybe a little bit, but also, like, other teams have this stuff too. Other teams have off-the-field stuff to deal with as well. I mean, I always thought Russell Wilson was really well-served by starting his career in Seattle because it's such a tame market. He ends up in New York, and, you know, he came in for a bit there in the game. I'm surprised they didn't go to Jameis, honestly, but that's neither here nor there. There's so much outside noise. We're so tired of it. It just feels like the last 48 hours has been a return to everything that annoyed us about being fans for so many years. The off-the-field noise, the bad results on the field, the visiting teams taking over the stadium is deflating. And it continues to be deflating. And it's not going to stop until the winning starts and everything. Now, they can't control the president. That's out of Josh Harris's control. He hosts him. He placates him. Right? He called him the ultimate commander in the Oval Office when they did the draft announcement. Gave him a jersey yesterday. Everybody's learned. You placate the guy. Give him what he wants. Apparently, that's how that works for you if you're a business. Roger Goodell probably approves of that. At the same time, it's annoying. And it's annoying that we talk about it. And like I said, I'm an hour and a half into the show. Grant Paulson and I were talking about this. Grant Danny's on 3-6 today. He said, I wasn't even going to mention that he was at the game until the stadium name thing, because that's just been such a deal. And I had always thought you'd do, you know, company name at RFK Stadium or whatever, you know, Pepsi Field at RFK Stadium or whatever. Maybe you work in a triple header. I don't know. Pepsi Field at RFK Stadium at Trump Tower or whatever it is. There's ways around it. The losing makes it worse. The fact that they got it handed to them by the Detroit Lions. They got guys kicked out, guys hurt, all on the same play. They got pushed around by the Lions. They got intimidated by the Lions. It's just so different from last year. And that's what's frustrating, that on a day after that, you know, we're in here talking about this stuff that's extracurricular, and that doesn't matter. It's not why we enjoy football. And he's on the broadcast, sure. Give him the microphone for a little while. He's talking to the fans, sure. Everybody's yelling, booing, saying their piece, whatever. I'm here for the football. That's why I'm on this station, not the other station that's 100 years old this year. Kudos to them. Love Rich Herrera. No shade on him. There's a reason I'm not doing that show, though. And the reason is because all of it is silly nonsense. Yeah, there you go. There's your hot MP take of the day right there. It's just all nonsense. And it's got nothing to do with the game. It didn't impact the game at all. But because we, you know, as fans, you pour your heart and soul into the team. And you're dedicated to the team. And you know, you want to create a community and create, you know, you want them to make a stadium where you're going to have a home field advantage and love being there every week. And instead you get these kinds of debates. And it's ridiculous. I don't know if it happens in other places, but it's happening here, and I don't like it here. There you go. There's your hot take of the day. I don't like it. Didn't talk to any of the players about it because, man, that locker room, one, emptied out fast, and two, just wasn't in the mood to talk about anything. I thought Marcus Mariota's comment was spot on, and you heard it earlier in the show. I don't think we are who we think we are. And these guys thought they were a playoff team. And I was buying that because they got a lot of pieces from a playoff team. And they're not that. I'm not sure they're this bad either. I think coaching's probably got a role. I think injuries probably have a role. At the same time, you got a lot of games left to play. And it starts Sunday in Madrid against Miami. They're going to get on the plane today, go do the week in Madrid. Dan Quinn was asked, do you rethink that in light of all this? He goes, oh, no. I double down on that. We got to have our week in Madrid now. We got to do our team building. They haven't thrown in the towel. They're also playing really dumb. There's just no denying that they've been super dumb as well. And that's something they got to fix. And that's something they got to work on. And that's something I hope they take on the plane and in Madrid and in the practice fields and everywhere else they go this week. We'll be following, of course. You got, we'll wake up to some press conferences in Madrid. We'll bring those to you all week long. We're still your home of the Commanders. We'll still be here for you, with you, commiserating with you. AWOD will do that from noon to 3. He's at Capital Ale House. It's the home of Richmond's OG Burger Night. Go by. Have a drink. Have a burger. Complain about the Commanders. It stinks. It's really rough right now, and not a light at the end of this tunnel. And nobody's getting fired, I don't think, because they're going to Madrid on this week. I think people get fired next week. Maybe that'll give us a pulse. I don't know. We'll wrap this thing up. We'll send you to AWOD right after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.